Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message I'm sharing with you today is entitled, The First. The principle of putting God first is an immutable truth found throughout Scripture. In Psalms 24:1, God declares that He is the owner and we are His stewards. In this message, I'm challenging you to put God first in every area of your life, including your finances and possessions. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
I want to share this message. I want to start by asking this question. Would you be offended, or are you offended or uncomfortable with a message focused on stewardship? That's the question I want you to think about. Are you offended or uncomfortable with a message focused on stewardship? Because there are over 2,000 verses in God's Word concerning finances and possessions. There are 16 of the 38 parables Jesus shared dealt with finances and possessions. All right, so money and possessions, it should not be a taboo subject in the church. Because if we do that, boy, we got to rip out pages, block them out, blot them out, that are not going to be in God's Word anymore. So the Bible has a lot to say about this subject, and it's a principle. The principle of stewardship, I would say, is summed up in this verse, Psalms 24:1. Check this out. The earth is the Lord's, and all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. We all live on planet Earth. What we have, what belongs to us, and it really belongs to God. It's His. It's all His. God owns the earth, the fullness thereof, those who dwell therein. So God created everything. God owns everything. We own nothing. We're not going to take anything out of this world. None of us. I mean, look, the Egyptians tried this, right? They built these great temples, and they put all their stuff in it for the afterlife, and we dig it up, we put it in museums today. Isn't that crazy? God owns it all. We own nothing. We manage His stuff. We manage His property. So why should a believer be uncomfortable with a message about stewarding, finances, possessions? Because God puts these things in our hands for us to manage them, to manage His property. That's what stewardship is really all about. It's about management. It's biblical. It's biblical to do so. Let me ask you this. There are so many verses in the Bible that deal with stewardship. What if we stop preaching on marriage, healthy relationships? That wouldn't be good, would it? All right, so there are verses in the Bible that cover that as well. Think about marriages. Marriages, why are many marriages are in turmoil? Trace it back to finances in many cases. I don't know how many times you can find marital problems start in the area of finances. And the Bible has so much to say on the subject, so it would be irresponsible of myself or any pastor not to share on this subject. Now, you know this, if you've been here for very long, you know, I'll give a little talk about offering and giving every Sunday, but I don't usually dedicate an entire message. So just hang with me here. And to tie in with what I've been talking about here lately is this. Do we believe that Jesus wants us free? I like that. That was a little more confident. So Galatians 5:1 has been a verse we've been looking at. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We believe that Jesus sets us free from our sins so that we can live free. So we should live free for the glory of God. So if that's the biblical promise, the expectation, then shouldn't we have freedom in the area of our finances? Proverbs 22:7, look at this verse. The rich rules over the poor, all right? And that's a subject in itself, but it's not for here. The last part is where I want to focus on. And the borrower is servant to the lender. You ever been in bondage before? Yeah, it's no fun, is it? It's not fun at all. And that verse speaks volumes to you if you are in debt to your eyeballs. Because there's an understandable, you know, I don't want to get up here and preach complete debt freedom. If you can do that, then praise God. That is the goal, right? That should be the goal. But I have a house payment. You know, I have debt. So that's my only debt, but I have debt. I think we can understand that in this world, you have manageable debt, correct? By the way, any young people in here, if you ever go buy a house, the bank will tell you could borrow so much. Don't listen to them, okay? They want more of your money. Don't ever go, well, this is the amount that you can borrow. No, you go under that amount, all right? Because, listen, they don't care as long as they get theirs. And if they get you in a trap, they're going to get theirs, whether you like it or not. So I'm just saying, being enslaved to debt is not freedom, and it's not fun. And it's God's desire, I believe it's God's desire, that we should live free in every area of our lives, including our finances. And I believe it's God's desire that we should be free so we can live free, so that we can do things for God's glory. And he's placed these things into our hands. We just need to manage them better sometimes. So being enslaved is no fun. It's not freedom. So don't be offended by the message concerning finance. I pray that you're challenged. I pray every person is here challenged just to hear what God's word has to say on the subject. So we can sum up the word of God. If we could ever take the word of God in one complete theme, some of you already know what I'm going to say when I say it. Most of us would say this. Well, God, it's love, right? That's what a lot of us would say, but not to split hairs. I would say this. I would suggest that the theme of God's word is giving. Because God so loved the world, he gave. God so loved the world, he gave. He not only just gave, he gave his only son, his one and only son. So God so loved. Imagine this. What if God loved so loved the world that he didn't give Jesus? You ever thought about that? God so loved the world, but he didn't give us Jesus. I love you, but I'm not giving you my son. See, that I would say that giving is a theme of God's word. And the reason we can experience freedom is in our own lives is for this reason. Hear me, church, because God gave. That's why we can experience freedom as believers, not just in our finances, but every area of life. And please listen to me. There are some principles I'm going to bring up today. Don't get sidetracked and put this in a little box and say this is all about finances, because it's not. You're going to hear some principles today that if we would really put these principles into action in every area of our lives, would be very helpful. So I want everyone to hear this too. I'm not going to ever preach a message about giving to get. That is wrong. That will put you in bondage, by the way. That kind of preaching will put you in bondage, because what it does is it stirs up greed and it goes against God's word. Think about this. How many of the Ten Commandments deal with stuff? There's two, stealing and coveting. You know, there's a lot to say in God's word about giving. That giving, what it does, it takes the greed out of us. Because we all have a tendency. Listen, we're all wearing clothes today. We all have homes. We have cars. We have things. We have stuff. All right, so we have a tendency as human beings to covet these things, to treasure these things, to put these things first. And what giving does is it allows us to be content. It allows us to train ourselves to do things more biblically. And giving is a biblical pattern. Amen? All right, if that makes you comfortable, I challenge you. Just take another look at God's word. Get some fresh eyes on it. Look at it in a different way. Let it challenge you. So the key to proper stewardship begins with the heart. When you say it's the heart, it's not the head, it's the heart. I think you got to get it both places, but it really starts with the heart first. Because the key to proper stewardship begins with the heart, and I'm going to entitle this message the first. Just the first. God should be first. We can't argue with that, amen? He should be first in every area of our lives. You know, why should God be first? Well, simply look at 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. If Jesus is your Savior, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't even own you anymore. Now, you got a couple options. You can own yourself, and that's going to end up bad, okay? But if you allow God to own you, this is going to end up good. So that's why we find freedom in Christ. We find freedom in our relationship with him. We find freedom in the principles that God illustrates in his word, to live by them and to live by the Spirit. So if you gave Jesus your life, there was an exchange. You exchanged your sin for forgiveness. That's a pretty good deal, right? Yeah. Sign me up for that. Therefore, we've been redeemed. Everyone say redeemed. Redeemed. Thank God for redemption. Therefore, we have to steward our lives, our entire lives, for God's glory, because we don't own ourselves. He owns us. And he goes, listen, I give you a life. I've got plans. I've got purposes. Now live it for my glory. See, we do this. We know this. But why don't we apply this to the area of finances and possessions? Because the spirit of mammon, that's why. See, we see this principle of the first demonstrated in something called first fruits and the firstborn. First fruits and the firstborn. There are people who give 10% of their income. They tithe, but they don't understand first fruits. And they miss the blessing. Because what this does, if you understand first fruits, you have the right heart and you have the right mind about the subject. So have you ever gone through the motions of doing the right thing, but your heart wasn't in it? Oh, man, that's tough, isn't it? That's grueling. You're doing the right thing, but man, my heart's just not in it. I mean, isn't this what Jesus confronted the Pharisees about? You do the right thing, but your heart's not in it. Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9. These people draw near to me with their mouth, okay, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. All right, so we can know it, and we can even go through the motions of it and still miss the blessing. Still miss the blessing. Listen, Jesus said this in Acts 20. Paul is quoting him. It is more blessed to give. It is more blessed to give. So here's how first fruits and the firstborn, how it relates to the principle of the first. This is how it all works out together. It's either sacrificed or redeemed. The first is either sacrificed or it's redeemed. Okay, here's illustrated a little bit better. Exodus 13, verse 2. Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. This is what God says. It's mine. It belongs to me. The firstborn belongs to God. We're not going to argue that, right? It belongs to him. He clearly says this. Of man or beast, it belongs to him. And there are 16 other places in Scripture where you find God declaring, the firstborn, it's mine. It belongs to me. Exodus 13, verses 12 and 13. That you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be to the Lord. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So the first belongs to God. It is either sacrificed or it's redeemed. There is no third option when you're dealing with the first. It's either sacrificed or redeemed. No third option. Each time livestock, it delivered its firstborn, the Jews were commanded to sacrifice it. But if it was designated as unclean, check this out. If it was designated as unclean, if that firstborn was unclean, it had a flaw, it had a defect, they were commanded to sacrifice it, but it couldn't be sacrificed, so it had to be redeemed. And guess what they had to redeem it with? A spotless lamb. Something had to redeem that animal. Man, aren't you glad that you redeemed? You were bought at a price. Jesus has redeemed you. He's paid a price for you. He is the spotless Lamb of God. The clean firstborn had to be sacrificed, and the unclean firstborn had to be redeemed. By the way, all of us were born unclean. All of us, and all of us need redemption. Amen? Here's the second thing we need to know about the first. Jesus was essentially, he's God's tithe. He's God's tithe. Look, John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist calls Jesus God's Lamb. Perfect, clean, blameless. He's also called the firstborn over all creation. Are you getting this? He's the first. Every one of us were born unclean. Again, therefore Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for our redemption. So what does redemption mean? It's a financial term. You ever redeemed something? You ever had those stamps? You go to some of you remember going to the grocery store, right? You spend X amount of dollars and they pull them out and they stamp them on things and you have to redeem, right? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? I can tell you this, that you could get some great deals on toilet paper back then. You can get it for like 10 cents a roll, you know, or a package, and you can use that to toilet paper people's trees on Halloween. That's what I know about stamps. But anyways, redemption. What does redemption mean? It means the act of buying one back, or the act of buying back. Redemption is the act, when we see it in the original, it's literally related to slavery. It's buying one's freedom. You were redeemed back. So God gave his firstborn son a spotless lamb for our redemption. Again, in essence, Jesus is a tithe. Here's something else we need to know about the first. God gave the first, watch this, are you ready? First. God gave the first first. Everyone say first. God gave the first first. Look at Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All right, so while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gave his first. He gave his first, Jesus, first before experiencing any benefits. He gave Jesus first before he had any benefits. Unfortunately, we want to experience the benefits, right, of God, the blessings of God, before we give. And it doesn't work that way in God's kingdom. It's never going to work that way. You can pray it, you can believe it, you can trust, but it's not a biblical principle. You can put your faith in it all your life. It's not going to work that way. You have to put God first. These are patterns that we can't change in God's word. The first and our approach to the first reveals our heart. All right, we either trust God with the first or we don't trust him with the first. See, God did not wait for us to repent of our sins and then he gave Jesus. He gave Jesus first. He gave Jesus first, his firstborn. God gave Jesus believing we would repent of our sins. See, that's the heart of giving. Have you ever wondered how God could justify this? How could God justify taking the firstborn in Egypt? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever think about the plagues of Egypt and how the firstborn died, right, because of the plague, that last and final plague? How could he allow that to happen? How could he take the firstborn? If you understand the principle of the first, this is no-brainer. They belong to him. The first, you can have a child, but that child belongs to God. It's God's. See, God owns the earth, everyone in it, everything on it. It's his. He is the creator. We are the creation. The firstborn belongs to God. He has legal right over the firstborn, Jew or Gentile. They're his. So why did the death angel, now check this out, why did the death angel pass over the Jewish firstborn and spite the Egyptian firstborn? And the reason was because there was redemption in place, because there had been an animal, there had been a lamb that has been sacrificed, and that blood was placed over the doorpost, correct? And the angel, the death angel, passed over. That's where we get that Passover from. He passes over because he sees the blood, because the blood signifies the residence of that home, the firstborn, has been redeemed. See, tithing puts God first. When we tithe, this happens. This is what we're saying. God, I'm giving you the first, and I'm trusting you'll redeem the rest. I'm giving you the first. I'm trusting you'll redeem the rest. Church, find a place in Scripture. Please do this for me. I would love for you to do this. Find a place in Scripture where God says this, let your lambs produce 10 and then give me the 10th. It's not going to work, is it? You can't just have the 10th. It's just any one of them. It's not random. It's very specific. See, sacrifice, it belongs to him. It belongs to God. It belongs to God first. Giving the first takes faith. It is not easy. And if anyone is going to tell you it's easy, it's a lie. It takes faith. I don't know about you, there are some things I believe by faith that it's easier than others. So Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. It's impossible. I mean, this is God's word. It declared to us, unless you approach this by faith, there's no way you're really going to truly understand or even experience the blessings of God. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is why so few Christians experience the blessings of tithing. Go through the motions. Heart's not in it. We want to give second. We want to give third. We want to give last. But God is first. He is first. And some will say, well, that's legalism. I call it biblical. It's a biblical principle. It predates the law, by the way. It predates the law. It's not law. The first portion throughout the Word of God is always the redemptive portion. The first portion is always the redemptive portion. When the first is given in faith, the rest can be redeemed. The first of the first. Exodus 23:19. Look at this. The first of the first fruits. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Again, you're dealing with an agricultural society. That's your income. The first of the first of your first fruits of your land you shall bring where? Into the house of the Lord your God. The first part belongs to God. It's not the tenth, it's the first. It belongs to God. The first of the first. Notice the Bible says where? The first fruits belong in the house of the Lord. Okay, the house of the Lord. New Testament, definitely in the house of the Lord is the church. Like it or not, that's where it is. And we bring our first fruits there. It's not a television ministry, nothing wrong with it. It's not a missionary. It's good to support missionaries. But that's not where the first fruits go. It's not the church down the road either. It's the place where you serve the Lord, where you worship, where you're giving, where you're receiving, where you're honoring the mission of God. Honor the Lord with your possessions, Proverbs 3:9, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Church, where are you putting the first? Is it Visa or MasterCard? Who are you honoring first? Consider the story of Joshua and the city of Jericho. Man, I love this story. Jericho was the first city, right? The first city going in to the promised land. It's the first city the Israelites were going to take. It was the first city they were going to take that belonged to the promised land. It belongs. God was saying, listen, the promised land is yours. But here's what God said to Joshua about that first city. What did he say? Destroy the city. Do not take any of the plunder, because the first belongs to me. Jericho belongs to me. Destroy it. No plunder. You can't take anything. So you sacrifice. It's mine. God demonstrated the importance of the first of the first. God didn't say to Joshua, go up and conquer 10 cities. Just give me one. It's not what he said. He said, put me first. God said, put that first city. It belongs to me. Set it aside for me. So Jericho, in essence, again, is a tithe. It's a tithe. God said to Joshua, give me the first city. I'll give you the rest. You can have all the plunder, anything that it's yours. After Jericho fell, the battle was won. One person, right? One person disobeys God. Achan disobeys God. He takes some of the things that belong to God, and he takes them for himself. And as a result, the consecrated thing then brought a curse upon the nation. This is not law. This is a principle. We must be careful how we handle the first. How we handle the first in our own lives. The first is always consecrated to God. But look, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Are we robbing God? See, this is what I want you to hear. I think we approach this wrong, that verse, incorrectly. It's not that God owns it all. I think we're missing this. God owns all. It's not our money, it's his. It's bigger than this. We are robbing God of the opportunity to bless us. That's what we're robbing God. It's the opportunity. It's his stuff already. It already belongs to him. It's how we handle it. It's all about the heart, church. We get so enamored with mammon that we can't even see the truth clearly. The reason why God wants us to give is so he can bless. All right, so God responds to faith. He doesn't respond to need. We know that. If it was need, every child in America and in this world would never be hungry. See, God doesn't want our stuff, it's his. He wants the opportunity to bless. And if you observe the principle throughout the Word of God that says put God first, it opens the door. Faith opens the door to God's blessing, and it always takes place that way. It's not law, it's principle. And I pray that if you only get that today, that's all you walk away with, then good. Because it's not law, it's principle. It amazes me how many Christians overlook the value of the Old Testament scriptures. The first thing you do, you talk about getting, oh, that's Old Testament. And I don't know how many times I've had to say, it predates the law. Predates the law. Or like this, somehow the Old Testament is less inspired than the New Testament. Boy, I taught on this yesterday. Somehow the Old Testament is less inspired. By the way, what scriptures did Jesus quote from? Because there was no New Testament yet. He quoted the Old Testament. Psalms is the most quoted book of the Bible in the New Testament. And Jesus most quoted Deuteronomy, second law. So the Old Testament scriptures were good for Jesus, then why aren't they good for us today? I mean, why does your Bible come with an Old Testament if it's not important? Why don't we just rip it out? See, if it's righteous in the Old Testament, is it not righteous in the New Testament? Do we consider adultery obsolete because it was in the Old Testament? Do we consider murder, lying, stealing obsolete because it was in the Old Testament? We can't pick and choose. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. This is what God's declaring through the prophet. I'm the Lord, I don't change. His principles don't change. His character, his nature does not change. God is immutable. That means he does not change. He will not change. God is good. He can't become gooder or better, however you want to say it. God is holy. He can't become because he's holy. See, God does not change. But how many of us that handle God's stuff, we don't believe that? We don't believe what it says about the first. When did God change his mind about the first? When did he change his mind about the first? I don't see it anywhere, not even in the New Testament. I don't see him changing his mind about the first. When did God change his mind about giving? I mean, he starts the New Testament off by giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. If tithing was good under the law, then why is it no longer good under grace? Tithing, again, predates the law. Before there was law, there was tithing. It was practice. It was the way that people worshiped God. They're eternal principles. When we don't honor eternal principles by faith, we get ourselves into trouble only because of this. God, where are you at? Why aren't you bailing me out? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you showing up? Because we haven't positioned ourselves to be blessed. All right, let me just ask you this. And I know that God will send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, correct? But we know this about God's blessings too and God's favor. You can put yourself in position for God's favor, or you can take yourself out of position for God's favor. So I haven't met a person yet. I've not met one yet who says, I've tithed and I am a good steward of the finances God gives me, and I went broke. Did you hear both of those? Not just one, both of them. Tithe and a good steward. Because this one doesn't cancel out the other. You can't tithe and be a bad steward, because you're going to get yourself into trouble. See, I found people who tithe and make poor stewardship decisions. And it's painful. It's a painful lesson. But you can get out of that. You can learn that. You can work out of that easily. It's simply keep doing what you're doing in the first and be a better steward of the second part. Give God the 10 and steward the 90 properly. It's easy to get out of them. But when you run into people who will do neither, it's the same testimony over and over. I will tithe when I get more money. No, you won't. You will not do it. I'll wait till I'm out of debt. No, you won't. You won't do it. See, you can't get to there from here if that's the position you're in. You have to put God first. It's by faith. Steward the rest wisely. God will bless you. He's the God of the impossible. Just put him first. Trust him. Let's look how God respected Abel. I think this is important. Because Cain and Abel is an incredible story. Genesis chapter 4. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So why did God respect Abel's offering? It had nothing to do with fruits and vegetables and beef. It had nothing to do with meat and vegetables. It had everything to do with the first. It had everything to do with the first. If you don't mind, could you put verse 4 back up there for me just for a second? Look at it. And Abel also brought of the what? The firstborn of their flock. The Lord respected the firstborn, the offering of the first. But upon Cain's, he did not have any respect, because in the course of time, he brought some of the fruit of the ground. He didn't bring the first, he brought some. Abel brought the firstborn to God, church. I pray that you're getting this. Giving has to do with the heart. It has everything to do with the heart. Here's my illustration. Cain tipped God, but Abel gave the first. I asked Jenny to go to the bank and do this. She goes, why do you need money? I said, it's an illustration. So I got a whole $100 to work with here, okay? This is more money I've had in my hands in a long time. Let me tell you that. All right, who wants to go out to eat now? All right, so let's say I'm a teenager. I know it's a stretch. But let's say I'm a teenager, I work 10 hours, and I got $10 per hour. That was my pay rate. So at the end of the week, what am I going to have? $100. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Let me ask you this. One, let's say hour 1, hour 2, hour 3, hour 4, hour 5, hour 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, which is the tithe. And I didn't say what is the tithe, right? It's a given. But it's which is the tithe. You say, that's legalistic. Then listen, you're going to have to tell that to God. Because this is his word. He talks about the firstborn. He talks about the first. I'm just preaching his word because I believe that principle. I believe the principle of the first. The first $10 belong to God. When you're working on your job, that first is God's. You know, I would even say this, and this may seem dogmatic, as best as you can, if you can get up in the morning, give him your first. Get up early, put him first. Can I tell you this? And look, if you're not a morning person, I get it. I can't stand mornings sometimes. But I will say this, that I don't find in God's word, the psalmist talking about, in the middle of the day, I woke up and I gave you praise. Or at the end of the day, when I decided to get out of bed in my jammies, I decided to give you, it's at the first, right? It's always at the first. So I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm just trying to be real. And if you can, put him first, amen? But just try it. Just try it. Drink an extra cup of coffee. The doctors, they don't know if it's good for you or bad for you. Just drink it anyways, all right? One day you can't drink coffee. The next day you can. Then they tell you to drink a bunch. They tell you not to drink a bunch. I say just drink it, okay? But anyways, it's not law. It's a principle we see in God's word. Putting him first, it's not legalism. It's a promise. So why is it legalistic to put God first concerning finances? And it's not. Giving is all about the heart. It's not legalism. You can't earn your salvation, can you? You can't give your way into heaven. You can't buy your sins. You can't earn through good works, good deeds. I'm just simply saying this. Can you put God first? Just put him first. Put God first in your behaviors, in your actions, your thoughts. Listen, if we can apply this principle, the first, every area of our lives, we're going to be in good shape. We're going to be in great shape. You may think that's overboard, but if this is right and the first belongs to God and God looks to the heart, then why on earth is this wrong? It's right. It's a principle in God's word. The first belongs to God. Everything in this world says, put me first. Everything in this world says, put me first, or put them first, or put this first. But God says, trust me and put me first. Trust me and put me first. I'll give you a great story. Elijah. Man, that's a wonderful story, isn't it? Elijah, it's the time of the famine. That little preacher, he's up on a mountain somewhere. God's feeding him. He's hand-feeding him. He's sending birds, ravens, to bring him food. And then he provides water supernaturally. He's hanging out during the famine, getting chubby. Everyone else is dying. Water runs out. Ravens stop bringing him food. Well, God, what am I going to do now? God says, go to Zarephath. God says, not him. God says, go to Zarephath. There will be a widow there. She will sustain you. She'll provide for you. Elijah goes to Zarephath as God commands. Finds the widow as God says. And he goes up to her. She's getting ready to die. She's going to have her last meal. And she's going to eat it and die. He says, give it to me. God said, you go find yourself a creek to jump into. But God is the one who sent that man. God is the one that sent that prophet. Why did God send the prophet? God sent the prophet. We think, oh, to sustain Elijah. No, he didn't. Because if you know the rest of the story, who gets the blessing? Who gets the blessing? The widow does. Elijah just gets some cake. He gets some, you know, that's it. But she gets the blessings. See, God sent Elijah to her for a test. We don't like to hear those words, but listen, you will be tested. Your faith will always be tested. It'll be tried. God says, look, try me in this, in the area of finances. Elijah is not testing the widow. God is testing the widow. The widow did not need her last meal. She needed God's blessing. She obeyed God. God blessed her because she put God first. The first portion has the power to redeem the rest. Romans 11:16, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. There's so many blessings that accompany tithing, giving. But the principle of putting God first, when acted upon by faith, it initiates the blessings of God. The tenth portion redeems the rest. The first portion redeems the rest. The first portion carries the blessing. The first portion carries the blessing, church. When we take the first and we do this, well, I know that belongs to God, but I'm going to pay this and I'm going to pay that and I got to get this and I got to get that. And you know what ends up every time? It's gone. It's just gone. So do we fear the bank more than we fear God? Do we fear the wireless company more than we fear? Gotta have that internet. We gotta have my data on my phone. See, we give the first to our utility company. We show respect, or whatever institution it is, we show respect to them first. You can agree to disagree with me. That's your prerogative. But you find me a biblical alternative, and I'll listen to you all day long. But if you tithe, if you really know this, and you know there are times, if you have been tithing and give, you know this. There is a time where you're tested. You're tested. Some of you already know where it happened in your life. You say, I'm going to tithe. You know what the devil does? First thing, you don't want to do that. You need that money. No. So you all have been through this. Some of you can tell this story yourself. It's just a different person here. I remember when we started out, before we were married, tithing. Right, we were tithing before we got married, Jenny and I. And what we did was, you know, we began our marriage by tithing. But we also began, we worked in a secular job, and we decided to do the stupid thing and go into ministry full time, which is another way of saying, welcome to broke land. Welcome to poor. Welcome to you just cut your income in half and live on that sucker. It was not fun. We took a major pay cut. And you know, over the next 5 years was horrific. Our checkbook, you could look at our checkbook, it never got over $100 balanced. In fact, it hovered around $20 for 5 years. Oh, well, we didn't go out to the movies. We didn't have date nights because we had no dinero. Most of the time, we balanced at about $20, and so we ate a lot of Hamburger Helper. And I will not eat Hamburger Helper to this day. Will not. Jenny, the kids, you know, I'm not eating that. It looks like garbage warmed over. I'm not eating it. We ate so much of that garbage, I'm just sick of it. I can even feel it right now going down my throat. I mean, there's almost cheese and meat you can put on stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can call it whatever you want. It's just cheese and hamburger. That's all it is, in a box. It was hard. We learned lessons, but God, we never failed to put God first. Never. There was times it was like, man, we had discussions. We had no debt. We had to sell our house because we couldn't afford that. We had to rent again. And so we rented a home, and all we had was the rent payment, insurance, gas, just the regular stuff, utilities. We had zero debt, and we were not making it. And so when people say, well, I'm too poor, I get it. I've been there. Every Thursday I'd get my check. Barb, our secretary, had handed it to me. Me and the youth pastor, Chad, we'd go to the bank. We'd cash our check instantly. I'd take the checkbook with me every Thursday because back in those days, nothing was electronic. So I'd take my checkbook, give the cash. I would write my tithe check right there at the teller, and I would balance the checkbook right then. And I'd say, come home to Jenny, say, that money's gone. We can't spend that money. It's gone. Because we had to put God first. Because when you're living on that paycheck to paycheck, and you're cutting it close every month, you better have God. And you better position yourself for God to bless you. Don't say excuses are poor, because here's the fact. We qualified for food stamps. Too proud to take them. Our kids, they had Medicaid, and we were on WIC. That Cheerios saved me a lot of hunger. We received a heating assistance on our bill, because up north you don't have electricity much. You use gas because that's the good stuff, but the gas bill can be very, very high. Had to have help on that. I'm just saying this today. God's blessed us, and I attribute it all to that test, that season of testing. It was a season of testing. There are so many times I wanted to leave the church I was at just for financial reasons. Loved the church, loved the pastor, loved everything about it, but just was poor, was broke. It's stressful, right, on a marriage when you're broke, when you're poor, when you're bound. There's no freedom. Can I tell you this? Stewardship and giving are the only way out of that. If you're waiting for the lottery to come, if you're waiting for Publishing Clearinghouse to come, it ain't going to come. If God is truly God, first in our lives, we put him first and all other things, listen, everything else will come into order. It has to. It's in his word. He's either telling the truth or he's lying. What does your faith allow you to believe? If God is not first in your life, nothing will come into order, ever. If God is not first in your marriage, your health, your finances, your job, your ministry, nothing will be in order, no matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter what your abilities are. If they're not first, if they're not before God first, they're limited. I believe this because I've experienced it. When I tithe, when I give my first fruits, God blesses the 90%. But if I withhold my tithe, my 100% is not blessed. And I would rather have 90% blessed than 100% not blessed. Listen, I want to say this. I want to make this very clear. God does not need your money. And I'm going to tell you this too. Our church doesn't need your money. If I just said, if it's God's will and it's his plan to do something, and you don't give, someone else will give. That has happened here I don't know how many times. Now, the shoes thing, even, I don't think is evidence of that. I think there was a willingness to give, but listen, God just, I'm going to get on board with this. If we put our church in that kind of position, blessings are going to come. But here's the thing, and I've not told you once, you're going to be rich by giving. You probably aren't, but I can tell you this, you're going to be blessed. I'll take blessing over riches anytime. Riches are limited. Blessings of God are unlimited. And all I'm telling you in this message is to put God first, by faith, trust him. Church doesn't need your money, because God will always supply for his first church. He will always supply for his family. He will always supply that ministry goes forth from his church. If the church has the right heart to reach people, God will supply for those needs. Here's the thing. If you allow someone else to give in your spot, they get the blessing, not you. Man, if you're going to covet anything in this life, covet the blessings of God. I want our church to be blessed so they can be a blessing. And again, God's not running short on cash. There's plenty of gold in the streets, right? There's plenty of gold up there. So no one needs our money, so why do I give? Again, Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, and God does not want that, for you have robbed me this whole nation. The opposite of cursing is blessing. And again, we rob God the opportunity to bless us, and we need God's blessing, amen? Are we robbing God of the opportunity to bless us? I need to close there. And I pray that no one was offended by that message, and I pray that you were challenged. Put God first, not just in your finances, but in all things, trust him, amen?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.